Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, once again featuring a local all-ages music venue, we're heading back out to St. Joseph to hang out once again at the Local Blend on the eve of their introduction of a new live music concept to the area. It's called The Listening Room, and it's really taken hold in other cities around the country. It's really quite simple. While the performer is playing, everyone is silent. You get one shush warning, and then you're out. The effect this has is subtle but pretty profound because everyone's listening to the music, which is why you're there in the first place. So The Listening Room is going to be an integral part of the Local Blend's music lineup because it's going to be happening every Saturday night with regional and national acts. So today in the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we're talking with Local Blend manager Astra Seitz and the driving force behind The Listening Room coming to our area, professional booking agent, music consultant, and very active board member and musical activist within numerous nonprofit folk organizations, Stephanie Kofell. So I've got Astra in the studio with me, and we've got Stephanie on the phone from New Orleans at a national folk music conference. And welcome you both to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. How about you introduce yourselves and we'll get rolling.
I'm Astra, and I manage the Local Blend out in St. Joe.
Right on. And Stephanie, what do you do?
My name is Stephanie Kofell. I'm a booking agent, manager, and music consultant, a board member of Folk Alliance Region Midwest, and affiliate of Folk Alliance International. And I'm also an advisor for Music to Life. I work with Peter, Paul, and Mary's no longer with us, Paul Stuckey's daughter, Liz, for a nonprofit where we connect artists and individuals who want to be community change agents through their music.
Music making a difference there, I tell you what. Well, one of the big things I have always liked about the Local Blend is that, it's a community center, if you will.
Absolutely.
And, it's not just music, but yet music is a big part of what goes on there. And it really is pretty much the only all-ages venue in town when it comes down to it. And when I say in town, I mean the area.
Right.
So that's kind of a big deal. And now this new program, this new thing that you all have in development here, it's kind of taking that music and it's growing the program, basically. So, who would like to explain what this new program is?
I think Steph should do it because she's the one who actually, thought it would be a great fit for our location. So
excellent. Thank you, Astra.
Yeah, you bet.
Sure, absolutely. So we came up with this idea for the Listening Room. Pretty much right now, I believe we'll be able to seat 50 people. The series will be every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m., starting this year, February the 1st, with professional musicians, regional, national, and international acts. And I do want to say very quickly, it's every Saturday with the exception of three dates. And I believe Astra and I have discussed this. Mm-hmm. The first date will be May the 9th, which is CSD and SJU's graduation and Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing going on in town then. Yeah.
No. Yeah, we're not busy at all.
No.
And then the second date in 2020, which we will not be able to have a Listening Room artist join us, is July the 4th, because that's Joetown Rocks.
Absolutely. Once again, nothing going on in town. Which might get away.
And it's now November 8th is a Saturday in which, rather than having regional, national, or international acts, since November 28th is Small Business Saturday, we'll be doing a special event showcasing 2 to 3 local artists on that date only.
Oh, right on.
So with the series beginning on February the 1st, there's 5 Saturdays in February, and we're opening the series with Mother Banjo on February the 1st. February 8th, we will have Dan Navarro. February 15th is Brothers Burn Mountain. On February 22nd, we'll have Galen Lee out. February 29th is Charlie Parr. We'll have Actual Wolf opening the month of March. Later in the year, we'll also be featuring Joe and Vicky Price, blues wonders that they are.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Andra Suki out with Steve Murray, Eric Koskinen, Chad Elliott, and a lot of other big surprises for the year.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So explain the concept of the listening room, because, you know, this is a somewhat of a shift in business as usual.
Absolutely, for sure.
It certainly is. Now, in terms of the listening part, so when you go to a listening room, there are listening rooms all over the country. There's a couple of quite famous ones. One is called the ARC in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and another is called the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. And during a performance, people are asked to actually shush. I mean, if you talk during the performance, they'll kind of give you a warning, and there are warnings on the table. There's little signs to say that you're in a listening room. Please listen to the artist. If you do it a second time, you will actually be asked to leave. And I believe, again, Esther and I have been over this, the Local Blend listening room's position is that there needs to be a certain degree of respect for the artist and the other people in the audience in a true listening room environment. There's time to talk during the intermission, before the show, after the show, and the nice thing is you have that one-on-one time with the artist afterwards. You know, they're selling merchandise. They're kind of there to, you know, talk with you afterwards. So listening, just, you know, listening rather than talking and talking over an artist or doing everything rather than actually paying attention to the person who's performing.
It is a completely different experience than going to the Paramount where you are sitting and you are being quiet and you are watching. But here you have a chance to actually have a conversation with the artist, and that's a big part of, you know, why they do these series.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I've been to my fair amount of, you know, musical events, and, you know, a lot of the times, well, let's take the Paramount, for example. You could have a chat with your friend next to you, but that would be kind of getting in the way of people around you listening, but mm-hmm. yet you have that kind of that politeness about you. But, yeah, at the same time, then you're not listening. What did you, and that always kind of got me too. You know, people would ask, well, what music did you go see? And I'm like, well, I didn't go see music. I went and listened to music.
Right.
You know, it's kind of subtle there. And it is about the music. That's why you're going out. So it kind of takes that experience of, you know, going to see a show, you know, a little bit deeper, because you're going for the music, something that you can hear. And, oh, yeah, I've had my experiences not just, you know, with other venues, but, you know, I literally once at the Local Blend at open mic with, you know, people talking, where it's just kind of like, you know, I can understand why you're here and you're doing this, but the thing I'm doing, people want to listen to that.
Yeah.
And you're getting in the way and you're not getting the hint of everyone in the place staring at you.
Yeah.
So it is a little different. I don't know. So where did this idea come from? How did you all decide to do this?
Well, Stephanie approached us, and I'm sure she must have been exposed to a listening room in her, you know, bookings and travels and with Dave, I'm guessing.
Very much so. Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, we have the space. We have the room. And what I hear oftentimes, you know, I've traveled 10 months out of the year now in business, and I'm in New Orleans right now, my 47th state of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been to not only a number of different listening rooms, but also I meet a lot of musicians, you know, with my work on the Folk Alliance Region Midwest Board. And what I hear oftentimes is there aren't enough places to play in central Minnesota. And, mm-hmm. you know, not only that, but there aren't a lot of listening rooms in Minnesota on the whole. You know, there are a few in the cities, but really nothing like this. In particular with, you know, this much seating, the food, the ambiance of the Local Blend. You know, we have almost, I'd like to say, a built-in audience, but just the popularity of the Local Blend, you know, having one best coffee shop in central Minnesota as often as they have. And just the intimacy of the space, you know, and getting to meet someone like, you know, Dan Navarro, for example, you know, having him out to, you know, if you want to look up Dan Navarro and see, you know, exactly who he is and the fact that we can get these types of artists out to central Minnesota. So, you know, oftentimes at these conferences, like, do you know of any places that I can play, you know, when I'm coming through your area on my way to or from a festival? And I thought, there's no better place than the Local Blend. And I approached Stacy and Astra, and they thought it was a great idea. And we had talks and meetings for probably, I don't know, close to a year maybe.
Well, if you think about it, it's making a shift. It might not sound like a big shift, but it is. So
it definitely is for us because, you know, now we have to sell tickets, and that you just call and buy them over the phone and your name is on a list. But that was something that we haven't done before, so that's new to us.
There was a series in Avon that was being run at the quilt shop years ago.
Oh, yes,
and they had acts out there that were just unbelievable. And you would go to a quilt shop in this tiny town in Minnesota and see Lawrence Juber. And this is Paul McCartney's, you know, one of his bass players. And it's like this guy's playing a quilt shop in Avon. And when they had that series, they were literally, I mean, almost every show they had there for, I think it was a 7-year run, sold out. So 60 people would come out. So I knew that the audience was there. That was the other piece of this, is that there is an audience for this type of thing and that caliber of musician. And as I meet more and more people, you know, I'm at a conference right now in New Orleans starting tomorrow. I'll have, there's probably, I think, close to 2,000 musicians here that are looking for places to play. So, you know, meeting them and being able to work with their routing, you know, to and from other shows, as I said, and just filling in this year, it'll be a great series. It'll be a lot of fun with some really big surprises and great names coming through.
Well, it is amazing how that all falls together, too, the overall musical community. Astra and I were chatting before we got you on the phone. She just listened to my feature I did with Zach Asphodel from back in the Java Joint days. He spent 2 years booking acts, you know, punk acts coming through there, and it just grew and grew and grew and grew. There's all these people that are wanting to make connections, and all these people are like, hey, we're just looking for a place to play going from point A to point B. And, you know, there you go. People are passing through, and, you know, they want to do their thing. And, you know, this even goes further back just into my days way back in Iowa City, Iowa, like over 20 years ago, where that was a stop between point between Minneapolis and Chicago or other places, other places west. So there was a venue there called Gabe's Oasis, which it's still there, but, you know, I'm not anymore. But the acts that would come through there, that exposed me to music I would have never even thought of checking out before. Like, you know, that's where I discovered Dick Dale, you know. And, you know, he stopped through, and he hit that place every single year on his route. Because it worked out, and then there you go. You know, that's one example. There's others, but that is kind of what you're doing, is this building of a greater musical community. And, you know, what do you feel that does for, like, the musicians and also for the area?
Right. And you just said something that really did strike, you know, a chord with me, which is, I mean, because I spend my entire day, I mean, and I work probably somewhere in the vicinity of 14 hours a day doing this. And that's not, you know, that's what I do. I mean, I work 12 to 14 hours a day emailing and calling people all day long, because I'm working with people not just here, you know, in the States and in different time zones, people on the other side of the world that I'm dealing with. So I have to be up at a certain hour so that, you know, they are too. You know, they're just starting their morning, you know, and it's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning here for me, but they're getting up on, you know, on the other side of the world. And what I do for my job has a lot of different facets, but that short answer about booking the shows is that typically with the artist reaching out to me oftentimes, you know, oftentimes I'll start the conversation, but I'm, you know, sending out and receiving 100 to 200 emails a day. So there's a lot of that process that's directed by the artist team and tour logistics, like you said, you know, about going to Chicago or on the way to Wisconsin and such. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that, the logistics of, you know, getting someone, you know, on that particular Saturday, you know, where are they heading to? Are they on their way to a festival? On their way to another listening room? In the end, it's basically about doing everything we can to ensure the best show and artist experience for everyone involved. And I think, you know, feel like I have the privilege of having a public voice here, because I consider it a big responsibility to book equitably too and represent the wider variety of perspectives in Central Minnesota. So I'm trying to ensure that we're not just booking just to sell tickets, right? We want to sell tickets, of course, but booking artists may already be popular or up and coming, and I'm giving opportunities to artists who I believe deserve more attention too. And I just feel very lucky that I'm booking a venue that's not limited to one genre identity and that it's all ages.
Right.
And, you know, helping to grow this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's great for us, obviously. You know, we have been doing music ever since we've been open on Friday and Saturdays. limited pretty much to local musicians, which is great. But just offering people something more than, you know, that is good. And we'll still have local musicians on Friday nights.
Oh, of course, of course. So, you know, and you know, who knows, we could even grow to Thursday nights or something.
If
you know.
It just keeps growing, you never know what can happen.
Well, you know, and that is one thing I've noticed about the local blend, too. There is that built-in crowd. People will show up for things.
They will.
Back a long time ago when I ran a poetry reading there, I noticed that the same people were showing up to these every single time. And, you know, with a little bit of variation, sometimes they bring a friend and sometimes they wouldn't show up, but their friend would show up.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I would literally see the same people there.
Right. There's definitely a loyalty with our customers for sure, you know.
And then, you know, it does. It brings, you know, the more that comes in, then, you know, the more likely that, you know, a different venue will be successful as well, because there's already, hey, there's an interest, there's something going on. So comes right back to why this is probably going to be successful, because there is a demand for it.
There is. And, you know, we run a pretty great shop. We've got really great employees who really know what they're doing and, you know, really like what they do and really like working the music nights, you know, and I think that that helps a lot also.
Oh, absolutely.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're talking with local blend manager, Astor Seitz, and booking agent on the phone from New Orleans, and local folk powerhouse, Stephanie Kofel, about the local blend's new concept, The Listening Room, which is going to be every Saturday night now with regional and national acts coming into St. Joseph for an intimate listening experience to some wonderful music. And now, as we get back into the conversation, talk to Steph a little bit about what it takes to find the kind of music that would fit in at The Listening Room.
So, Stephanie, let's see here. Some of the other, you know, the groups that you've got coming in, or how did you end up running into these people to begin with? You know, you've been doing this for a while, but, you know, run through some of that stuff, just what it takes to run into these people.
I generally am running into them at a lot of these music conferences, like the one I'm at right now. Oftentimes, we will show up in a city. My husband's a musician, so he'll be playing at a venue, and someone else is in town because they're playing at a different venue. Well, we're in town for a weekend, and we'll go see. We do this a lot. We're in town for the weekend, and my husband will have a show on a Friday, and on Saturday night, we'll just go out and see someone else because, you know, I hear that they're in town. We'll go see them, and I'll say, you know, I wonder if they'd be a good fit or not. And we, you know, we'll approach them and get to know them, and it's really interesting because, again, it comes down to not just the logistics, because obviously if they're coming through town, that's great. But, you know, the toughest part for me, I think, is not having enough dates in the year, not just that, but there's a lot of great artists that I'd love to book, you know. But, you know, is it good? You know, sure. Is it interesting? Is it something that people are loving right now? Not just me, because if I were, you know, are they doing something totally different, something new, something where, you know, I think I've developed a decent sense for what I connect with and what people, what an artist does to connect with different crowds. But if I'm booking just what I like, it would fail because, you know, it would just be, let's say, hypothetically speaking, all folk music, you know, 52 Saturdays of all folk music. And I think if you do that and you're aiming, you know, you also have to look at your, I'm thinking of, you know, what is your demographic? You know, if you're only booking older folkies or something, you know, who's coming out to see those people? Like, you know, the fact that we're going to have a duo out called, I don't know if you've heard of them, Small Potatoes. They're a big deal for Small Potatoes. But we're also having, like I said, Actual Wolf is coming out. They're completely different crowd that, you know, that the local blend, the employees of the local blend will see on those Saturday nights. So, you know, getting to know people, I've built up these relationships with a lot of artists over the past 5 years. I would say, again, being, you know, part of the, being on the board of directors with the you know, Folk Alliance Region Midwest has just helped me to, you know, reach out to more artists, and they reach out to me too. So It's building those relationships, which I think is the key. That's probably the short answer here, is building those relationships with the artist and then word of mouth from those people as well.
Yeah, so in some ways, I'm kind of thinking back to the interview I did with Zach, because he did all his work before the internet, really, at least before
social
media. I
don't know how anyone did that.
Yeah, but it was the same thing, just people sitting down. He's got this great story of just these two other bookers were sitting over at his place. You know, they're two bands that they were staying the night at his place, so his house was packed. And he's just sitting down with these two guys, and the guys are just trading phone numbers and names back and forth. And then they're like, hey, you want in too? And then all of a sudden, the three of them are trading names and numbers and stories and all those little things that make, you know, that it successful. So it is. It's just developing relationships. And
yeah, it's super important. And out sharing information, especially working with as many musicians as I do, not just on my roster, but if you're sharing information, there's more than enough to go around. And, you know, when we arrived here in New Orleans, you know, we had somebody bring up our luggage to our room and all that. And he's like, so music conference, so what is this, like a competition? Like he's, you know, it just goes, his mind basically went right to competition, you know. And, yeah, you know, there are a lot of festivals and there are a lot of musicians and there's only so many slots for so many. But if you're sharing information with one another, everyone wins. It's like all boats rise if you're helping each other on that tide. You know what I mean? It's not,
oh, yeah.
It shouldn't be, I'm keeping this close to my chest and I'm not telling you about it. I just recently met, I know a musician, a female musician that I met in Austin, Texas a few years ago. She lives in Louisiana now, in Shreveport. Her mother lives in Eau Claire. We went to visit her mother and met her brother, who's also a musician. And now I just booked him a show with another one of my artists because he shared information with me, I shared information with him, and it just, everyone wins that way. So I think that's a really good way of doing business.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like it's very much like a positive feedback loop. You know, everybody's doing their thing and sharing, and all of a sudden, everybody's playing music, and then people are listening too. That's
right. And everyone's happy. So
yeah, that is awesome. So for the listening room, pretty much a lot of these are all booked out. These are, you know, regional, national acts. But what if somebody was wanting to kind of, you know, book a show at the local blend, is not part of this program, but, you know, or get into this somehow, not necessarily the listening room. That's like, you know, a couple steps down the road for somebody, but, you know, somebody around here is maybe new to what's going on. How would they go about doing that?
Well, they can contact me through Facebook or, the local blend email. And then we would book them on a Friday evening. We don't sell tickets for those shows, however. Mm-hmm. So it would just be our base, you know, rate that we would give them.
Mm-hmm.
So then does that answer?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that is, it's just, you know, how do people get out there? How do people, you know, you'll take that first step? Because there's, you know, there was something incredible I saw this summer just driving to Wilson Park in St. Cloud. You know, a few high school kids transformed their parents' garage into a stage and were putting on a concert right there on Riverside Drive.
I love booking high school kids at the local blend for Fridays. I love it because their parents come out, their friends come out. They all have such a great time. That's one of the things I've been trying really hard to do, is trying to find younger performers to come in, because I think the older crowd does not have the enthusiasm, but it's just, it's somewhere for them to be. You know, we'll never be a Java joint because that's...
It's a different vibe.
A different vibe. But we love having the younger kids come out and play, because it's so fun to watch them. They're so talented.
Oh, absolutely. It's like they got to start somewhere. And that little bit of encouragement, they're playing. You know, they're up there on stage and they're doing their thing.
And I encourage them too to come out for open mic night. That would be great. You know, that would give them, it's non-paying obviously, but something really fun for them to do. It's definitely all ages are welcome.
Oh yeah.
You know, for that.
Well, and that is, I think, what's really important is these opportunities, you know, not just for people to play, but for people to experience music.
Yeah.
And for it not to be, you know, a strict bar setting.
Absolutely.
And, you know, because that lets people, It's more accommodating for everybody that way.
Yep, I agree.
That is absolutely key, what you just said, too, mm-hmm. about not just the all ages. If people aren't bringing younger people out to listen to live music, and I heard something really interesting in a listening room this past summer. Someone said to me in Chicago that the music industry spends millions of dollars to keep you at home entertained, sure. to be listening to music on your iPod or through your computer or through Spotify or through, and you're missing the experience of a live show and meeting the artists and watching that. If you bring young people out to that, you know, and they experience it, and then they get interested in music, and then, as Asher said, they end up wanting to play music and then going out to the open mics and, you know, honing their craft as well. That's where our next generation musicians are coming from. They have to go out and see live music in order to, you know, experience it, enjoy it, see what it's about, and learn the art.
Absolutely. And, you know, to bring it all the way back to Dick Dale again, you know, when I was at the show, well, I've been to quite a few of his shows, but I would always notice that there were people just staring, mesmerized at him playing, because they're witnessing what he's doing.
Right.
And, you know, there's the hearing it on the album or, you know, seeing it on a video or something. But then there's you're in the same room, and what he is doing is creating the sound that you are hearing right there. And, you know, this goes for, you know, all musicians. But, you know, you're there. You're present for it. And thus, the listening room right
yes.
there.
Yep. There you go.
That intimate space, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, St. Cloud has Summertime by George, which is a great series, 14,000 people, family oriented, lots to do, food to eat and all of that kind of thing. And you're experiencing the music, but in a room like this where there's 50 people and you're listening and you get to meet the artist afterwards too, there's nothing quite like that kind of music experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah, two different ends of the spectrum right there, if you will.
Yeah,
sure.
So right on.
One of the things that we're doing, I'm sorry, is we decided we'd try something a little different for one of the dates. We're actually going to have a play on stage, a one-woman play.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, way cool.
The woman who's coming out to do this is, her name is Vivian Nesbitt. She's been on Breaking Bad. She's been on all kinds of TV shows and movies. And she does a one-woman play called Mother Jones in Heaven, and that'll be in August. So that's something that we're doing that's a little bit different.
Nice.
And we do still have to figure out which artists we're going to have that Small Business Saturday in November on the 28th. So
you got a little time.
Artists there, but yeah, we'll figure that out. So
right on. Well, thank you both for talking with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
And we've been talking with Aster Seitz, manager of the Local Blend, and booking agent Stephanie Kofel here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, all about the concept of the listening room as it comes to the Local Blend every Saturday night now for the foreseeable future. Starting off this Saturday, February 1st, with Mother Banjo. The show starts at 7, and remember, it's the listening room. You get one shush, and you're out. For links to more information on the listening room at the Local Blend, as well as all other musical offerings, you can find links on our website to their website at kvsc.org under the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and at the page to this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack reminding you that you need live music just as much as it needs you. And the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.